Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And today, Tim, we're talking about probably the subject I get more grunts about when I'm talking with adults than maybe any other subject, which is that that eternal dirty E word, entitlement.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Whether it's educators, employers, parents, we most of us, not all, but most of us see there's too much of this going on in our culture today.
Yeah.
We need to nip this in the bud. You know,
that and I think a lot of times when we talk about entitlement, we talk about it in the vein of, can you believe these kids today?
Yes, yeah.
But I think our focus of entitlement is actually going to be, can you believe these adults today?
Yeah. And what did we do to create this?
Exactly. Yeah. And I want to start with a story you told me a little while ago about a mom who you ran into who showed all of the signs of an adult who doesn't understand how they're actually producing entitlement in their students with their activities.
So this was actually an acquaintance of mine that I'd known, but I happened to bump into her in the lobby of a high school. And I said, oh, hey, what are you doing here? And she kind of looked down at the floor. I could tell she was a little bit embarrassed.
She knows who you are.
Yeah, that's right. She knows and has read the books.
Yep.
But she said, oh, I was just bringing in my son's project that he forgot.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, okay, I did that.
Yep, heard that one before.
But then she quickly backpedaled and said, well, he really needed it. This is the last chance to bring his grade up, blah, blah, blah. And so I didn't combat her. But as we began to dialogue, I began to discover this was her pattern.
Mm.
She created perhaps a forgetful son. She would often rush in projects that her kids had forgotten. She would get them Starbucks every day. All three of her kids, actually, get them Starbucks.
When she picked them up, right?
Yes,
from
that's
school?
Right. Yep.
Wild.
Sometimes she served breakfast in bed, which is a wonderful treat. But I'm going, oh, boy, their future marriage partner is in for a doozy.
Yeah, they're in a five-star resort here.
Yeah.
They're at home. Yeah.
And, of course, this mom just tenderly loves her children and wants to be their great mom and have wonderful memories together growing up. But one after the other, I mean, it got so bad that she was hovering. She was checking with me every 2 hours. I'm not going to let you go to a college more than 2 hours away. All these things. And I thought, oh my gosh, where did this come from, this new parenting style? And I think it's today's parent that feels like this is the good way to really lead our kids. But you and I both see, as we talk to school after school after school, this is producing a negative result.
Oh man, some of these schools are dying. Now, I do want to acknowledge there are communities across America and all over the world where a parent doesn't have the ability to do that, right?
Right. No doubt about it.
Especially low-income areas where you got to work two or three jobs. If you forget your project, I can't leave work because I'm trying to keep our family afloat.
Yeah.
But when we go into communities like the ones that you're talking about, and you and I both have a bunch of stories we could tell about this, what we hear from the adults in the school who are trying to lead these students is, I just don't get it, you know, all the things that are going on. In fact, I think you had a case study that we were talking about before that you wanted to share about what these schools look like.
For sure, one thing educators tend to say is when parents are doing this, kind of doting over their children, they create a chasm between the student and the teacher.
Yes.
Because mom is Superman or woman, and I'm the bad guy leveling, you know, a hard grade or, you know, this and that. And so parents listening, just know you might create a gap between the teacher who's teaching your child and because you're always building this bridge in between the gap and rescuing them.
Because they're trying to hold them accountable and you're always saving the day, right?
Yeah.
And those two things are creating a dichotomy experience for them. Yeah.
So I happen to be at one, I think we see this most in middle class communities where zip codes are middle class or certainly affluent communities.
Certainly there.
So I was at one particular affluent school. It was very, very nice. The facilities were stellar. The sports programs were amazing.
Yes.
The teachers were wonderful, and they got paid well. It was just an amazing charter school. But I remember driving into the parking lot before the speaking event I did, and I thought, I've got the worst car in the parking lot. The students were driving Beamers and Lexuses and
it is funny how much you can tell when you get to the parking lot of a place. You know
that's
where
right.
you are pretty quickly.
When you got the worst car in the parking lot and you could be their father.
Yes,
you know, that's, So, and sure enough, when I met with the faculty, they were so enthralled and even mad at the entitled students. Hmm. You know, these students are just entitled. But look at their lifestyles. You know, they got smartphones, they got iPads, they got Ferraris, whatever. Mm-hmm. But then as I talked to the faculty, Andrew, things became crystal clear. I began to interacting with them during and after my session with them, and I started seeing entitlement in the faculty. They were, I don't know if they were jealous of the students and the lifestyles they enjoyed,
yeah,
or if they were just angry. They felt they deserved better pay, better benefits, better conditions, better teacher's lounge. And so I thought, if we're feeling entitled, we have no chance of creating an unentitled young person in front of us.
Absolutely.
We're going to reproduce what we model. So I just want listeners, I'm saying the obvious, but if we have a spirit of entitlement, it's going to bleed out to our kids, whether they're students or our own children.
And we already know this, you know, the lifestyle that you enact, the posture that you hold, the words that you use are going to subconsciously make their way into the heads of the young people that you're around, because they're just soaking up so much stuff. Now, they probably wouldn't come out and say, you know, well, I learned entitlement from my mom and my teacher, but that's exactly where these ideas come from. The only way that you can become, I know this phrase that you use oftentimes where you say, the only way I can become disillusioned as if I'm first illusioned, right? Somebody gave me a false understanding of what life was supposed to be like. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, like you said, that comes from the adults.
It really does. And I don't think I realize it when I do it. I'm going to just speak for me. I know good and well that I teach what I know, but I reproduce what I am.
Yes.
So I have all the right lectures at home or at school, but then they watch my lifestyle feeling like I deserve this or that and the other. And again, we create disillusionment in the kids.
Absolutely. So. Well, we've been using this word entitlement. I think it would be helpful for us to actually define it in terms of what are we talking about? Where is it showing up? Because, by the way, neither of us are making the argument that these kids are not entitled. They're definitely entitled. We just want to talk about where it comes from. And so that's kind of where we're headed.
So I think a simple working definition, and I'm willing to hear yours too, Andrew. I know you've thought about this, but I think a sense of entitlement means it's a person who believes that they deserve certain privileges and may even become arrogant or presumptuous about it.
Yes.
Just because they're here.
Yeah.
I didn't earn this or work for it. I just feel like it should be mine. So in Division I athletics, it might be that student athlete that says, I deserve all this because I got a scholarship.
Yeah.
This should all come. The swag, this, that, the shoes. Yep. And again, coaches, teachers, parents, sometimes we create this because we don't explain it.
If I have enough talent or if I have enough money or if I have whatever a big enough scholarship or whatever it is, I deserve these things because I'm this person of status. Yeah.
And let me hasten to add, it happens to all of us regardless of our age. One example you and I have talked about a lot before is I feel more entitled today than if I was living 100 years ago.
So true.
100 years ago, people did not feel entitled to air-conditioned homes or cars.
Yep.
But we do. Yes. We would never buy a house or a car that was, you know.
Yes.
So just know, it's not that we're wicked or evil people. We just have a level of lifestyle that's better than it was a century ago.
Yep.
And our kids are even the recipients of even more because now they've grown up in the 21st century with even more perks coming their way.
And step one is acknowledging the problem, right?
That's right.
And it's so helpful for me. I remember when we originally talked about this a few years ago, just acknowledging the fact that I am the beneficiary of living in the year 2020, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And that there's lots of things that come along with that just because I showed up at the right time in history, so.
Well, here's the research behind this, or some of the research anyway. You and I have talked about this before. But according to a study from the University of Hampshire, young professionals born between 1988 and 1994 scored 25% higher on entitlement-related issues than their 40 to 60-year-old counterparts and 50% higher than those over 60.
Mm.
So again, it's just trending. This is not a judgment or whatever. It's just looking at numbers. As we are younger, we tend to have a greater sense of entitlement. And the older, my dad does not feel entitled.
Yes.
He feels like he should pay for everything and wonders if he should buy the chewing gum. And I said, Dad, do the 50-cent thing. Take a risk, you know. So it's, you know, just a different world than we once had. So watch this. Another study found that people in their 20s are more than three times as likely to have a narcissistic personality disorder, which is commonly associated with entitlement, than people 65 or older. So again, it's just trending. That was a report we found in Forbes.
Yeah.
So if someone has a sense of entitlement, again, they're just feeling like, I deserve this because I'm here, rather than my grandma who said, oh, no, we should pay for this. This is not, we're not deserving of this automatically.
Yes. Yeah. And I always point out when I have conversations, and we should too, like, just because you're an adult in America today does not mean that you necessarily did, you caused all of this.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's understanding that it's the culture that
yes.
you grow up in,
yeah.
right?
It is.
And culture is very much, you always talk about culture as a soundtrack, right?
Yeah.
It's the thing that's playing in the background, mm-hmm. and you don't even, when you live in it long enough, you yeah. don't even notice it's there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's happening. It's happening to the youngest of us and the oldest of us
yeah.
at different rates for sure. But I think one of the reasons it affects young people so much is because they're at their most pivotal stages where they're
yeah.
deciding who they're going to be.
That's right.
So if the culture is producing entitlement, it's going to hit them a little bit harder than it might hit the rest of us.
No doubt about it. And probably this begins to be noticed most vividly when that young person moves from backpack to briefcase.
Absolutely.
So an Atlanta employer recently talked to me about a young employee that he said, Tim, I just couldn't believe he felt he deserved a job just because he graduated from college.
Yeah.
And while college does help the job prospects, it doesn't automatically happen. You better interview well.
Yep.
You better bring some skill sets to the table.
Yes.
Add value. He felt he deserved more pay than the position really allowed.
Mm.
And even though the employer, my friend said, no, this position only pays this much. So I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But what we're asking you to do doesn't pay $85,000 a year. And then lastly, he felt he deserved more perks than the rest of the team because look at my GPA. You know, so again, it was just a sense of entitlement that I don't think this young person had any idea he even brought with him. It was that soundtrack I didn't even notice.
Yep.
But it came out when I talked to an
and
employer.
And just to be honest, like I can speak to the truth of or the experience of this young person and say when I was growing up, the experience that we had oftentimes was we were told, go through school, get good grades, go to college, and when you get out, the sort of unspoken thing was everything's going to work out
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
so a lot of this entitlement, mm-hmm. I'll just say I had it when
yeah.
I was exiting college because I was under the
yes.
the impression that if I did the right things, then the right things would happen back to
yeah.
me once I reached adulthood. And so it's a little bit of a reality
yeah,
dose to realize it's not just about how well did you do in your past.
Yeah.
It's about how well do you continue to do
yeah.
in your future and what's your posture towards things and yeah, some of those things. And that's how a young person would walk into a first-time job interview and think, well, I deserve this because
yeah.
they told me just get all
yeah.
straight A's and
yeah.
somebody's going to be begging you to come work for them, you know,
yeah.
Which is obviously false expectations, but I think that's how it happens.
Well,
a lot
it
of
does,
times.
And I want to just echo back or reply back to you. I think you've become a great, great guy who's a wonderful professional. You had good parents. But even with good parents,
yes.
the soundtrack of culture says,
yes.
you're awesome, you deserve better, you're awesome, you deserve better.
Absolutely.
When maybe that's true, but maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
I still need to earn this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about what happens because of entitlement.
Yeah.
You've actually got some ways for us to sort of mentally process
yeah.
this and what it looks like that I think would be quite helpful. So share that
well,
with us.
You and I both enjoy psychology and sociology
uh-huh.
here.
Yep.
So I want to talk for a minute about the psychology behind entitlement, okay?
Okay.
So if we break down what's really happening inside, I think there are sources and symptoms that might be good for our listeners to look for and spot.
Okay.
And then we even have some ideas to be antidotes.
Yes, I love this.
So here we go. Get ready for this list, listeners. I believe that one of the sources, maybe not the only source, of entitlement is arrogance. I feel I'm important or superior. I deserve perks without working for them. So if young people are today a generation that were told by everybody, you're awesome
yes.
for putting your spoon in the dishwasher.
Uh-huh.
I always joke about that. Or,
yeah.
or just for showing up on the soccer team. Well, of course they're going to feel superior.
Yes.
Until they go off to Georgia Tech and they realize, oh, there's a whole bunch of smarty pants here.
Yes.
That
yeah.
all were valedictorians, you know.
Uh huh.
But often that dose comes late, and that's traumatic at 18.
Yes.
It should have been learned at 8.
Yes.
So again, the source of entitlement is arrogance.
I just feel like that happens so often when a young person is in a situation where they, typically, I find that it's talent, or resources, money, a lot of times, as the two main factors that can produce arrogance, right? Either I'm really talented or gifted, right? We call this the oversized gift, to use one of our habitudes that produces the arrogance of I feel like I don't, I can just kind of coast through life. Or it's often resources, you know, because I have these things, I deserve a certain level of service. I deserve a certain level of respect. So, yeah, this is definitely showing up.
So let me confess something to you. I have to battle this in my own life, and I'm 60 years old. Because I fly a lot and stay a lot of hotels or whatever, I'm this diamond Delta medallion flyer with 2 million miles, whatever. So I get treated nicely.
Yeah.
When I don't, I notice it.
Yeah.
Well, of course I do. Here's the pattern, and I didn't get it. But I have to make sure I'm not going, do you know, you know, that sort of thing. It's just, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate confessing that. But I have to be careful. I need to go, no, no, I agreed to fly this flight to go to this event.
I've gotten used to a privilege.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or the Hilton hotels. I'm diamond status there. But I have to be careful. If I don't get that nice room, I'm not calling and demanding some ridiculous perk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we need to all
be thankful for where you lay your head.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. So, okay. So that's the source. The symptom of entitlement is resentment.
Mm.
So very quickly, think about this. When I don't get all I deserve, I grow bitter and I feel resentful toward others.
Absolutely.
Why didn't you give this to me? And I might even add another symptom I think I spot is presumption. Before I even get anything or don't get anything, I presume I deserve it.
Yes.
So look for symptoms of presumption on the part of another person or yourself and resentment. I resent. I just have a resentful attitude all the time.
Yeah.
Well, that is not fun to be around.
Yes.
And moms and dads, you're probably nodding right now. That is not fun to be around when your kid is just resentful all the time that they're not getting this awesome treatment that they feel like they deserve.
It has, entitlement has a way of warping reality, I think, is probably the right way to say that.
Yeah.
Where I believe, I'm angry about not getting the thing that I thought that I should get. And it's like, what reality are you living in that you thought that's the way that should go? But that is quite fascinating.
That's true. All right, so that's the source and the symptom. I believe the enemy of entitlement is humility.
Yes.
Now, it's not an antonym, but I believe it combats entitlement really well. So I overcome this entitlement as I humble myself, realizing I'm a part of a much bigger picture.
Mm.
So when I don't get that perfect room at Hilton or whatever, I'm a part of a bigger picture. There's other Hilton diamonds. There are other, you know, I'm feeling like an idiot just saying this. But I have to remember the bigger picture.
Yes.
And when I do, I realize I'm a part of the jigsaw puzzle. I'm a piece, but there's a much bigger picture in the puzzle.
I feel like this is one of the reasons why when we see beautiful acts of humility that our culture goes, wow.
Yeah.
Right? The Mother Teresa out there who sacrifices their life for the sake of others. We're like, how in the world could somebody like that do what she did? And it's really, honestly, I think she would tell you, she would have told you, what she did was the most basic thing in the world,
right?
The shocking thing was the humility of that decision and the consistency of the humility of that decision.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think we struggle to understand in America
oftentimes
because of the entitlement things that we're
experiencing.
Well,
here's a good illustration of that. So years ago, this became a big news story nationwide. There was a college softball game up in the Pacific Northwest. Sarah and Liz were two softball players on one particular team. The opponent, I believe, was Central Oregon. But in this game, the hitter up at bat hit a home run. And it was her first home run in her college career.
That's
so
awesome.
So she was very excited.
Yeah.
She thought so, too. So as she's rounding first base, she's so excited, she forgets to tag first base.
Oh, no.
Well, her you know, teammates are yelling from the dugout, go back and touch first base. You won't get to score. They noticed, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, in her excitement, she twists and turns to go back and tag first base, and she falls to the ground. She sprained her ankle.
Oh, no.
So instead of saying, I sprained my ankle climbing Mount Everest, she has to say, I sprained my ankle turning around in the base path. Well, now she can't get up. And so the NCAA has a couple of rules that now make this very hard for her to actually score a run for her team. Number one, you have to touch all the bases or you don't actually score.
Yes.
Now she couldn't. She couldn't get up from the dirt. And number two, your own teammates cannot help you around the bases.
Yeah. So if they're in the dugout, they can't come out.
Yeah, that's right. So they're about to forfeit a run, which this sweet girl had just hit.
Yes.
Well, that's when two opposing players, Liz and Mallory, trot up to the opposing team's dugout. Did I mention the opposing team?
Uh-huh.
And said to the head coach, excuse me, would you all mind if we carried her around? And I think the head coach goes, beg your pardon?
Yeah.
Because she thought, surely I'm
You'd
not
like
hearing
to help
correctly.
Us give you this. Yeah.
And they went on to say, I don't think there's a rule that says the opposing team can't carry around, and I think she deserves this. And as the jaw drops in the dugout of the opposing team, these two young women carry around their opponent, touching her feet down to first base, second base, third base, and home. Well, this made national news.
Of course.
And on the next day, national news program, the interviewer asked these two ball players, you know, why did you do that? And I love the fact that they just said, because it was right.
Yeah.
And I thought, that is humility speaking right there.
Yep.
And they were undoing a wrong by acting ethically and in humility.
Yeah.
They saw the bigger picture, and I think that's what we got to build into the emerging generation.
Well, I think, obviously, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
But it's sad to me that the reason it makes headline news, yeah, that it's not happening
it's so rare.
Everywhere all the time, is that it's so rare. Yeah,
yeah, it's true. Yeah.
All right, the last one.
So the last piece I have here, before going to maybe a list of steps, the antidote to entitlement, I believe, is gratitude. As silly and elementary and cheesy as that may sound, we never grow too old to cultivate a sense of gratitude.
Yep.
Again, I'm 6 decades into my life. I've got to work on staying grateful for the blessings in my life.
Yeah.
So I must recognize what others have done for me that I didn't deserve, and I thank them. That I realize I didn't get to where I am. I constantly think about the 22 whatever people around this office. I didn't get where I am without your help, Andrew, and Cody, and Rashad, and Grace, and all the others in this room. So if I'm just mindful, it doesn't mean I need to dote and say 15 times a day, thank you, thank you, thank you. It just means I got a spirit of gratitude.
Yeah.
This was a team effort.
Yeah. This is not I'm awesome, we're awesome.
So
yeah.
I've said this before on this podcast, I got to say it again, because Rashad's in the room who played football at University of Georgia. One thing that makes me a little, I get a little miffed, when I see a wide receiver or a running back or whatever, do an incredible job scoring a touchdown, but he's so into himself as he scored the touchdown, he does Superman shirt and all this stuff. His teammates want to celebrate with him. The ones that just blocked and tackled or did all the stuff, getting him into the end zone.
Yeah.
It is about me. And I want to go, no. You had 10 other guys that got you in there. You know that, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, unless on a rare play, it truly was a single effort. Everybody else was laying on the ground. I don't think that happened. So again, I just think we got to remember, any good I did, it was probably a percentage me and a lot of percentage other people.
Absolutely. That's nobody has a 1,000-yard season without a really good offensive line.
that's true
in life and everywhere else. So that's beautiful. I think the posture of gratitude is one that I experience when I try and experience it when I'm getting food at a restaurant, right?
Yeah. Yes.
One posture is that person is hired to treat me kindly, and bring me food. The other posture is they don't have to be nice to me, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to be grateful for them serving me in the way that they do.
So
and it's just an attitude shift. So
that's a great point you brought up. Here's what I try to do. I think you and I have the same mindset. As I'm at a restaurant or a store or whatever, I imagine in my brain like I need to treat all the vendors out there like they're volunteers.
That's good.
That keeps me, like even sometimes the team, I'll think, if these guys were all volunteers, and sometimes they might feel like they're volunteering extra time, I'm going to treat them much better.
Yes.
Much better. And I just think that's probably a good mindset to carry.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Well, if you don't mind, I want to read these one more time just because I think they're helpful. The source of entitlement is arrogance.
Yeah.
The symptom of entitlement is resentment.
Yep.
I know that's true. The enemy of entitlement is humility. Mm-hmm. That's why it stands out so much to us. And the antidote to entitlement is gratitude.
Yeah.
I love that.
When my kids were growing up, they remember this even to this day. When I saw them get mad, I'd say, are you angry or are you grateful? You can't be both. Are you angry or are you grateful? And they would always roll their eyes at 12 years old or whatever. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be angry and grateful at the same time. I just cannot underscore the research, by the way, that's came out of University of California system. I think it was UC Irvine that came out with some great, great research on what gratitude does.
Mm.
So I just want to make a couple of statements here. Some of the symptoms of entitlement, I would say when I'm entitled, Offenses come quickly, so you become easily hurt or offended. If you notice that about yourself or the students in front of you, that may be a signal, something's wrong here. Mm. So offenses come quickly. You don't express gratitude as often as you should. Your compassion evolves into merely looking down on little people.
Yeah, yeah.
You have classes in your mind.
Yeah.
4, forgiveness becomes difficult. You begin holding grudges because I deserve that and you didn't give it to me. Mm. And then lastly, expectations of others is high, but you make exceptions for yourself.
Yeah.
So I judge others with my head, but I judge myself with my heart.
Yeah.
You don't know what a hard day I had.
Yeah. I tried really hard today. You have no idea.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Well, that's good. Well, we always want to talk about practical steps to take. So I know you have a few advice that you would give us as leaders in the next generation, whatever context we're in, parent, teacher, coach, leader of any kind. How do we help them avoid that sense of entitlement?
Okay. Well, these may not be brilliant, but I scribbled down about 5 that I thought might be helpful to listeners. Number one, these are steps to avoid a sense of entitlement. Number one, combat your awareness of what you don't possess with what you do.
Mm.
As elementary as that sounds, the moment I focus on what I've got, I suddenly realize that's more than they got in Pakistan or whatever.
Yeah.
So again, combat this sense, what you don't possess with what you do. Be mindful of your blessings. Write down what you've gained over the years. I did that exercise this month, new month in 2020. What do I have? And boy, did I walk away from that wanting to hug my wife and my little puppy dog and everything else in the house.
Yeah.
All right, number 2, when you resent someone else having something you don't, research to discover the hardships that person has endured. This will level the playing field. So when I see somebody enjoying a nice car or whatever, I start thinking, they probably work really hard.
Yeah.
Or maybe something else happened. Imagine the best, not the worst. That's what I guess I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a really good posture. Yeah. I remember reading something about how the majority of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies grew up with single parents, right? Just the stories a lot of times. Now, that's not true of everybody, but it's better to assume that, to believe the best, and then you can become wrong later if you need to, but that's the right posture, I think.
Well, there was a great book written years ago called Cradles of Eminence, and it's the story of 415 high-performing people in business, sports, education, politics.
Yeah.
I mean, people you would know, Roosevelt, Dr. King, but of the 415, 392 had overcome incredible adversity.
Mm.
So even though he was lucky, No, it wasn't luck.
That's not the normal story.
He overcame polio or whatever, getting there. So we just need to remember that.
Yeah.
Number 3, begin benefit-seeking activities. Let me say that again. Begin benefit-seeking activities where you reflect and record all the benefits you've received but didn't necessarily earn.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stuff my mom and dad gave me.
Me too.
A lot of stuff my wife has done or whatever that I just need to keep
be thankful mind. For, yeah.
Yep, that's right. 4, be mindful of progress more than status.
Love that.
This is huge. If I'm a perfectionist, I'm going to have a bad day every day because I'm rarely ever perfect. In fact, never, actually. Just ask my wife.
Yeah.
However, if I'm mindful of progress, in other words, instead of focusing on what you haven't gained, celebrate the fact you made a little progress there.
Yeah.
It's huge. And adjust the attitude.
Yep. And we also put in our new book all the research that's out there on if students especially see progress, it makes a huge difference in their stick-to-itiveness later on.
That's right. Yep. One last one, number 5. Write a note of gratitude. I dare you. Write a note of gratitude to someone new every day this week. I just did one this morning. This forces you to stay focused on what you have, not what you feel entitled to have.
Love it.
So it's just a simple step, but these are big steps to keep adjusting our attitude and for our kids, the students in front of us.
I love that. Well, we've talked about the symptoms of entitlement. We've talked about the statistics. There's a lot of entitled students out there. But then there are stories that we hear from time and again, and you just told one about these young ladies on the softball team. Yeah. But I know you got one more of what it looks like when we get this right, when we, as their leaders, help them break down this sense of entitlement, shape their posture towards the world, and then you get stories like the one that you're going to share.
Well, there was a young man, I believe he was living in Alabama, and his name is Walter Carr. He had gotten a job. He's 20 years old, so he's a man, but he's a young man, just at the beginning of a career. And the news broke that his boss had given him a car. And so you might think, wow, that's
how cool. Yeah.
Wish my boss gave me a car.
Yeah.
I need one. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
When you dig into the story, it just becomes heartwarming. So Walter, this young man, drove 20 miles every day to work. So that's pretty long.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So one particular day, he drove about half that and his car broke down. But instead of saying or texting, can't make it in today, or I need a new car, hint, hint.
Yeah.
He walked the rest of the way. So 8 to 10 miles, he's walking on foot to work.
Yeah. Decided the job was important to him he was going to make a sacrifice
for it. That's right. Well, what in the interviews that were done later after the car was given to him, he said, I didn't want to defeat myself. So in other words, if I feel like someone owes me a ride, a car, or whatever, a free ticket.
Yeah.
So he didn't. He just walked and walked and walked. Well, he shows up. He's a touch late. He apologizes. The story breaks later. The boss gives him a car. But here's a young man that does not feel entitled. He said, I'm going to get to work, come hell or high water, pardon the terminology.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, when you show humility instead of entitlement, people want to give you things. Yeah. People do what they feel you're entitled to rather than you feel entitled to.
Deserving looks like somebody has gratitude,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
A posture of humility, like we talked about. Well, what a beautiful story. And here's the thing. I think there's as many stories like that out there. They just don't all make the news, which I'm actually thankful for in some ways, because that means that they're becoming more normal. But thanks for sharing that with us, Tim. Thank you for giving us all of that great advice. If this has been something that's helpful to you and you're a parent out there who's thinking about how do I build some practices into my leadership of my kids that are going to help them combat entitlement and a lot of the other really difficult things that can happen as a part of growing up in the 21st century, Tim wrote a really great book a few years ago. It's called 12 Huge Mistakes That Parents Can Avoid. It's a fantastic resource that breaks down really simple practices that you can start at very early ages that can help start to basically get rid of some of those unhealthy practices that can often lead students to develop unhealthy expectations in life. So if that's something that's interesting to you, head on over to growingleaders.com and click on our store, and you'll see 12 Huge Mistakes Parents Can Avoid there as a resource for you. We think that should be helpful. As always, if you'll rate this podcast, give us 5 stars. That helps get the word out about what we're doing here. Follow us on social media. We love connecting with you there. We're at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore, pretty much everywhere you are. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for this podcast, things you want us to talk about, people you want us to interview, shoot us an email. It's podcast@growingleaders.com. We love getting those and hearing from you. Tim, thank you again for leading us through this conversation. Thank you guys for listening in, and we'll see you next time.